Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I wonder if preachers got up on Sunday morning, looked over their crowds and said, "You rattlesnakes, how long would they last in their pulpits?" Can you imagine? People don't like to hear deprecations and names hurled at them and insults, and that's exactly what John the Baptist did. They all come out to hear this great preacher, and the first thing out of his mouth are, "You vipers," which means poisonous snakes. And he said, "And don't think that because you were born into the faith that that means anything." And he proceeds to preach about fire and brimstone. And I don't know if the gospel writer understood irony, but at the end of the diatribe, what were the last words that were said? "So, with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people." Didn't sound like good news to me. He said, "Bear fruits worthy of repentance." Now, I have heard a lot of sermons on this text. And usually what happens, and I'm guilty of this too, when I hear these words, "bear fruits worthy of repentance," I get very churchy. And I get very theological. And I talk about sin, and I talk about forgiveness. But when the people heard him say this, they were confused and they said, "Well, then what are we supposed to do?" And he doesn't say, "Recite the sinner's prayer." He doesn't say, "Be sorry for your sins and God will forgive you." What does he say? He says, "Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none. Whoever has food must do likewise." Tax collectors came. And they said, "What should we do?" And he said, "Don't cheat people." And soldiers came. That would be the police force. And they said, "What should we do?" And he said, "Don't use your power to harm people and be content with what you have." That doesn't sound very churchy to me, does it? What are these fruits of repentance? What is God talking about? What is the good news here? The good news is that God is concerned not only with our spiritual selves, but physically, emotionally, mentally. God is concerned for every part of our lives. He's concerned with those who have none. He's concerned with those who have a lot, and he says the best way to deal with yourselves is to give some of that away. He said, the best way to get ahead is not to cheat, but to be content. The best way is not to exert authority and power over people, but to use your authority in the right way. God is intimately concerned with our lives outside of these four walls. That's the good news. Now, can you imagine somebody who was impoverished listening to that and saying, "God really cares if I live or die. God cares if I have food on the table, and he sent somebody else to help me." That's the gospel. The good news is eminently practical. And we see that in every aspect of our lives. Now, I like to turn on the TV and listen to the news, only to keep abreast of what's happening. And 29 of the 30 minutes is not good news. 29 of the 30 minutes is murder, mayhem, shootings, fires, natural disasters, and Donald Trump. Now, you can decide whether that part is good news or not. I won't get into that. But every single thing that I've heard for the last month or two have been those things until the very end. And then each newscast will have something uplifting. They call it making a difference, or they have some other words. And I looked at one local newscast when there was a young man who had PTSD. He was a war veteran. And every loud noise sent this young man crazy. And he had a wife and children. And they decided that if they wanted to stay in the community, they had to soundproof the house because it was just too terrible for him. So some community organizations got together and said, okay, we will soundproof your house. And they sent them away to hotels so they could soundproof. What they did was not just soundproof this man's house. They renovated the entire thing so that when he walked in, he had a brand new home. That's good news to that soldier. We remember those terrible headlines from Ferguson, Missouri, when a young man was shot down, and then when there were protests and they were met with armored vehicles. Well, how do you turn something like that around? Well, the police have decided that they're going to make a change. And what they do is they'll pull citizens over. And when they pull them over in the car, it's not a traffic check, they hand them money. It's Operation Smile. And that's beginning to turn around the whole attitude. You know, we think that we will be safe if we arm ourselves to the teeth. I have news for you. We'll be safe when we start to open our hearts and our hands to people. That's how we'll stay safe. I learned this as a child when I lived in the highest crime district of Staten Island. There were people that were mugged on my street corner. We would have to go out two by two. My father made sure that whenever we went to school and we all walked, that an older sibling had to walk a younger to stay safe. Our home could have been easily broken into. When we would lock ourselves out, we'd either jimmy a window open, or if we had done a really good job locking the windows, we'd kick the front door down. It was so easy to get into our home. We didn't have security systems. We didn't have heavy locks. But any time a child walked through that neighborhood, they knew that they could stop at our house if they needed help, or if they wanted to pick fruit off the trees in the back, or if they wanted to take a flower, or if they just needed a drink of water on a hot day, or they wanted to congregate at the house and play stoop ball in front of our house because we were the only neighbors that would not chase them away. And when vandalism would happen and break-ins, never at our home. The good news is that God cares about the practical things. He cares if somebody doesn't have enough to eat. And this is how we proclaim good news. When we send out that money to Door of Life Food Pantry, they've told me that each week they stock it and by the end of the week it's empty. Our Catholic friends at Stella Maris were so inspired by Door of Life Food Pantry, which is 24/7, that in 2016 there'll be a site in Fish Creek, 24/7 food pantry. This is good news for people who are in need. When John speaks about repentance, it's about turning around and looking at the neighbor. God wants us to be in communication and in love with our neighbors. That's the good news. And bearing fruits worthy of repentance means that we've figured it out. The gospel is eminently practical. Ask someone who's gotten a coat when they needed one. The gospel is eminently practical. Ask someone who's come to the church for help and gotten it. The gospel is eminently practical. And so when John spoke to the people that day, he was speaking about how to live out the gospel, and that is good news. How do we live out the gospel here? How do we live out the gospel tomorrow? When we are rushing around, we're going to be buying gifts for Christmas. We're going to be doing so many things for our families and our communities. How do we live out the gospel? The good news is God doesn't want anyone to go hungry. God doesn't want anyone to go without. And we, his children, can help to promote the gospel. He spoke good news to the people, good news that we can turn our lives around. One of the things that I have noticed in life is that when I am giving out, I'm so joyful. It's one of the, I call it God's economy because it doesn't make sense. I would think that if you're happy, you have stuff all around you. But I've noticed that some of the most miserable people that I have seen, especially when we look at our super rich people, the people who are the happiest are the ones who are giving. The people who are the most miserable and can't figure out life are the ones who are hoarding. The good news is God wants all to be a part and to be thriving in this life. And we can be a part of that. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you for the practicality of the gospel. I thank you that you are concerned not only with our songs of praise and our scripture reading, but our salaries and our workaday lives. And I ask, O Lord, that you would remind us that we are your children not only on Sunday, but every day of the week. We thank you for the Baptist exhortations today. We thank you for the good news that you love us and that you care about every aspect of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.